That about that.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. If you don't mind, I'll probably just do the recap again because I forgot to press the record button. So,
Okay.
so everyone, good afternoon once again. It's my friend and brother here, Olorun Tosin Tawida Jobo. This is someone that has a great personality, someone that I've always known for a couple of years or many years right now, maybe over 20 years, definitely about 30 years even. You're welcome to the show, to the Debo Taiwo talk show, Tosin. You're welcome today.
Thank you, Debo. I really do appreciate it. I really do
All right.
appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. You clocked a year older yesterday. How does it feel to be alive? How does it feel to be alive, to be a year older?
Man, you know what? It feels good, at this point, like when you're having your birthdays in your late 30s or so, it's just that it's another day for you to kind of like just reflect on high school days, university days, now being a parent, my mom is around, my sister is around. It's like
That's incredible.
you're just like more mature than you're just grateful for everything, just grateful for life. So yeah.
Interesting. It's indeed important for us all to be grateful for life. I mean, for life, for people who probably will be seeing this later on. Toshi and I obviously we went to the same secondary school, so it's someone that I've always known since 1998. So that's like 20.
BGS for life,
That's
eh?
26 years ago. It's
Yeah.
been an incredible journey.
For sure.
For sure, one of the reasons why I wanted us to touch base today, we try to keep it as quick as we can, so within the same time and make it insightful. I wanted to know specifically what influenced you to move to Canada. I mean, for sure, we went to secondary school together between 1998 and 2004, and at that teenage age of ours, we were probably about 20, 17. We were about 17 at the time. And then out of the blues, you just vamoosed and left the shores of Nigeria. What influenced that decision to move to Canada?
Well, you kind of made it sound like I disappeared there. I didn't. No, but you know what? Finishing high school, right, when we graduated, we're 17 around that time, right? And I just had one thing in me. I just didn't want to school in Nigeria, I wanted to school abroad, I tried so many times to get into like colleges in the UK or whatever, but at that time, Canada was not very, very popular at that time. So I tried, and I'm always grateful for my parents, my dad and my mom, my family, everybody. They supported me and they said, you know what, if you can get an admission, we'll give you that, we'll give you that support. And I was running around, and I didn't know I did it, just running around. And at that time, just cyber cafes were like really, really popular at that time. So
That was
just
the biggest
going
stuff. That was the biggest way to access
at
internet then at the time. True
that time,
story.
right? I
True
was able
story.
to secure I was able to secure an admission into a Grand Prairie Regional College in Grand Prairie in Alberta.
Oh, okay.
And I spoke to my parents about it. And it was an organization called Maple Education. I
Okay.
came with Maple Education. It was like myself and 30 of us that came together. That
Interesting.
was, yeah, so in 2005. But like, yeah, going back, I didn't want to school in Nigeria. I wanted to school overseas, and I give thanks to Almighty Allah for giving me that
The
opportunity.
opportunity. Great, great stuff. Would there be any specific reason why you did not want to school in Nigeria at that time?
Well, at that time, I was 17, and I was kind of like looking at things like 10 years, like planning things ahead. My parents, they actually retired. My mom retired in 2003. No, my dad retired in 2003, and I think my mom retired the same year we graduated from high school, which was 2004.
2004, yeah.
So I'm looking at myself. Dad is retired. Mom is retired. I'm 17. My older sister, she just kind of like got into university first year. I still got a younger sister. And I'm like, Nigeria could do this for me, man. I
That's
felt like,
interesting.
I feel like, and I'm the only son. I
Of
feel
course.
like I needed to kind of like go outside,
Kind of see
to kind of see,
what the
what
world
life
is.
board orders, whatever I can do to support my family. Because I was like looking at it, just projecting, like I said, right? Dad is retired, mom just recently. Like my parents were okay, but I felt like for me to be able to support my family, to kind of like be there for my family, I needed to kind of like go outside the country to do that.
Wow, interesting. Great summary. I mean, now that you've said this, I'm just kind of remembering. But of course, even back in secondary school, you've always had this leadership trait. You were the kind of guy who, you had a lot of friends who, or you had a lot of friends, yes, who kind of flocked around you and, kind of sometimes seek to you to give them like, okay, show me the way. What should I do with those things? Like you were the guy who they were coming to for advice and stuff like that. And that kind of shows that you've always had leadership traits. But to think at 17 at that time, even me, what you're saying right now blows my mind away. Like you thought about the fact that you needed to support the parents at the, tender age of 17. It was incredible. The incredible stuff.
Thank you.
Now, yeah, incredible. So what were like the major like culture shocks or adjustments that you had to go through as a teenager who did not have a father or mother or sibling here in Canada? And how were you able to navigate those culture shocks at that time?
Thank you so much for that question. I will never forget, first time ever leaving the country, and I came to Canada. I came to Canada August 27, 2005. I can never forget that day. We flew through, we came into Toronto. We spent a couple of days, not too
When you say
long.
we, did you come in with dad or mom at the
No,
time?
like I said, I
Oh,
came
you
with
came in with 30 of your friends.
yeah, 30 of us,
30-something.
through Maple Education. So we all flew from Nigeria, and we all went to Toronto. So when we got to Toronto, so from Toronto, everybody started kind of like moved to your own place. People were going, we got into University of Alberta, went to Edmonton, Calgary. I got into a college in Grand Prairie. I went my way. But I remember the weather changing. Because
It
like
was August,
came
right?
the end of like, right? And all of a sudden it started getting cold. And not too long ago, Grand Prairie is a really cold city. We're talking about like minus 45, minus 50.
Yeah,
And it wasn't too long, we started getting snow.
crazy
So,
stuff. Something
and
that
this
you've
is,
never seen before that time.
you're right. This, 17-year-old boy, never seen snow before. Obviously, I've seen from movies and all
Of
that.
course, of course.
But actually, I was like, what is this? Run outside, go grab snow, play snow,
A
and
trail.
stuff like that. But
Trail.
that was a big culture shock, the first couple of weeks, I'm gonna be honest with you, it was tough in classes because there was a way the professors kind of like talked, where
That was a
I've
lot
always
different,
been used
huh?
to like the Nigerian professors and all of that, the way they talk, the accent and everything. But I'm not gonna lie to you, the first couple of months were kind of like
Kind of
rough for
tough.
me. I wasn't doing very well academically because I kind of needed a little bit of some time to get into that,
Integrate into the system, right?
integrate into the system when they talk. You know how Canadians say, right? A, right? Like, I'm
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
what's wrong with these people, right? But
You're like,
after,
what's happening here? Like,
what's happening? So yeah, that one was number one for sure. Number two, I learned so quickly. A friend of mine, Carson, I said, after maybe like a couple of months or so, oh, let's go for wings or something. And in terms of like Niger setting out, someone invites you, like, let's go out, right? I thought he got my back, like he was
Yeah,
gonna
it's gonna
pay for
pay
it.
everything as Baba would, chairman. I'm the one inviting you.
White boy, right? Like, yeah, let's go for wings and drinks. I was like, oh man, I'm new in the country. Let's go out for wings. And my brother, man, we had
But
some wings, had a couple of drinks or whatever. And the end of
I'd
the
imagine how the story went.
I know we got to the checkout, and you know how they say it, right? Like, separate
Yeah,
or like together?
you want to split the bill or you
You
want
want to
me?
split the bill? No. The guy was like, yeah, separate.
OMG, and you're like,
I was like, I had to like grab my friend and say, Carson, when you invited me out, I told you were gonna be paying for this. I was like, oh, buddy, I didn't know that though. But yeah,
exactly.
well,
What is the word?
buddy is the one. I can call for you right now, but when you get back to your place, you can kind of like, grab me ca cash or whatever. I'm like, okay, sure, let's do that. So that was a big one for me from like
Big
day
one for
one. Like
sure.
I knew, okay, if If somebody is like, if somebody that's not Nigerian, if they're inviting you out like this, man, just make sure I have my wallet, man. I
Yeah,
have a means of
end of
payment, you
story. End of story. That must have
know?
been super embarrassing for
It
sure.
was,
That was deep. That was deep. Deep stuff.
yeah.
Deep stuff. Would there be any other ones you want to kind of touch base on? Of course, that one really wowed me. Okay, so for even me, I came in definitely just a few years ago, just about two or so. I came in my mid 30s, very mid 30s. And one that really surprised me was the fact that everyone finds it very easy to call themselves on a first name basis, even in a workplace. So I'm talking to someone who is like the where I work in the store, like the store leader who is definitely in her 60s, and I can call her by name like 100%, and no, there's no fuss around it. That seemingly hierarchy where you have to kind of take permission and all of that stuff. Not like you don't have to get courtesy. You want to get courtesy, like you want to. It's, you know, like I was like, oh, really? Like I could just call this, no, mister, no, but like, okay. That was a bit of a.
I got that too. I got that too. A lot of my supervisors that I worked with too, it took me a while. Even the professors when I was in university, I kept calling them sir, sir. And some of them would actually call me to the side and say, hey, Tosin, do you have like a British background or so? For you to call somebody a sir, you need to be knighted by the Queen of England, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like,
Interesting. Knighted by the
that's just the way
queen.
I grew up,
Oh my
right?
God.
So it took me a while to even when I came to Winnipeg too, right? I was still calling my supervisor sir or whatever. But I think some people kind of understood that this guy's just trying to give me some respect or whatever. But it was weird. But after a while, I don't do that no more too,
Of
right?
course.
Because
I mean, you've been here for how long? You've integrated pretty much into the system. So 100% you wouldn't be doing that anymore. Interesting. Interesting stuff. So you were in Alberta for a while. You did your first degree in Alberta and then you moved to
I actually just did, I did like a, they call it the UT University Transfer. So I did 2.5 years at the Grand Prairie Regional College. Then I transferred to University of Winnipeg to get my degree in criminal justice.
Oh, in criminal justice. And what influenced the decision to, you know, get your degree in criminal justice at the
That's
time?
a good question. That's a good question. Thanks. I've always, I actually wanted to, I wanted to become a lawyer at first. When I was like, even before I got my press, before I got my admission into to come to Canada here to study as a student, I actually got an admission at UNAD,
Okay, University of Alberta.
yeah, University of Aberdeen, and I was going to do law there actually. So all the admission, everything was good to go, but it was around the same time that my admission to Canada clicked. So I came to Canada. So I've always loved, like, you know, justice, law enforcement, stuff like that, social services. I've always been interested in that. So when I came to Canada and I saw the tuition fee, you know, as an international student back then, it was too much for to go to law school. So I asked myself, listen, what is the next best thing, right?
How you could
Try to
do.
help your parents, try to support your parents, like, you know, because I knew at that point, and my parents were not going to fund me to go to go to law school, dude. They were ready to help me to go to school, but not
But
law
not
school.
law school because of
Law
the
school.
significant financial implications for that.
There you go. There you go. So I asked myself quickly, okay, Tosin, what's the next best thing? Criminal justice. Well, you know what? I love this. You know, like I said, law enforcement has always been like something that really fascinated me, you know, growing up and all that kind of stuff like that. So yeah, I did criminal justice.
Interesting, interesting stuff. I'm still really thrilled and wowed by how you made some of those very manly and very mature decisions at a very tender age of 17. I thought we were friends. I didn't know we're not
No,
close.
my
I'm
brother.
messing with you, don't say no. I'm just messing with you.
No.
I mean, but I'm so impressed at how you've been able to, you know, turn out eventually. And talking about turning out, I mean, you came in at the very young age of 17. How easy is it for people coming in at that age, at that very tender age, to kind of still follow the path? You know how we are taught back home, let's say, won't see any team one share. Like, remember whose home you're from. How easy is it for people coming in at that tender age to kind of not kind of get distracted and fall out of the track?
Thank you, Debo. That's an amazing question. I think everything all goes back to you have to, like how you said it in Yoruba, you have to kind of like, my parents really drilled that in my head, and drilled that in my head before I left Nigeria. And you know what? You're going here. We're giving you an opportunity here. It's not like you came from a rich home or anything. Just go there. We believe in you. We're gonna give you the support that you need. Go there, do the right thing, stay out of trouble, get a degree, and do whatever you can do to support family. So, but I get you. I think I was saying to myself when I came very early, I said I wanted three papers in Canada. Those were like my three focus at that time. I said three
Interesting.
papers. The first paper was to get my degree. When I get my degree, that would open doors for me to get my permanent residency and eventually become a citizen.
Become a citizen.
And when I have my paper, then I can start to make money. So those were the three things that I told myself, three papers. So that was my focus. Go to school, get your
Get your
papers, start
paper
making
and
money.
then be able to become integrate.
So that was I was able to just, to stay focused, like, okay, this is what I really want, and I just have to stay focused to it. I grew up in a Muslim family. Islam is a really big it's really big for me, myself and my family. So I believe my religion too kept me grounded to
Wow,
my
interesting.
parents, my dad, my mom, my sisters. They really gave me that support. My family, my grandparents, they were calling me all the time, right? Hey, Tosin, how's everything going? So I think with all that stuff and with Almighty God's blessing, those just kind of kept me grounded. Yeah, it was tough. I had some friends that got deported. I got some friends that we came together. Quite a few of them got deported.
But do you
Some
want to
didn't.
highlight, I mean, without calling anyone's name, but do you want to highlight kind of instances? Because this shows just kind of bring people to understand, the kind of challenges that people might go through coming in as a. So do you want to highlight a little bit of challenge, sorry, instances of what made some of those guys got deported?
Okay, I can remember a couple when I were in college. Some were not taking education very seriously, right? Because at that time you had your study permit, and some people came from Nigeria. They gave them like a 3 year or 2 year work permit. Like when that stuff expired, they were supposed to kind of like renew it. Some didn't take it seriously, and it just expired. Instead of them to reapply, whatever, they didn't take it
They didn't
seriously,
take
and
it seriously because
immigration came for them. Some went, some got into drugs. Yeah, drugs
That's
were really bad
distraction
for
I was trying to talk
people.
about earlier.
Some got into drugs. Some were just not focusing. They just kind of like forgot where they came from, and they just got into trouble. Some didn't finish school at all. So, but for the most part, a lot of us came, and they were able to, finish school and doing pretty good for themselves.
Great, great stuff. Before asking my question, I was just thinking about this, very similar to what you said, but I was thinking about this earlier. There's a Yoruba adage says,
Yeah.
"Mo the sherifun ogun
Wow.
odun."
Debra,
Meaning.
I'm gonna say I'm gonna just gonna say this quickly. Your Yoruba is pretty good. That's amazing. Like all this
Well,
stuff, I kind of know it
thank
too, but
you.
I can't say it as clearly as it says.
Thank
I
you.
give
You,
you that
the
because
difference is I stayed way longer back home, so
you
it's
still
expected
okay.
that my Yoruba should be slightly better than yours, right?
But okay, absolutely, absolutely. Can you give
So,
me 1 second? I just
sure,
want to
why
plug
not?
in my I just want to plug in my laptop
Take
here.
your time, take your time, take your time.
Sorry.
All right, yeah, so just no, it's
Sorry
fine.
about that, eh?
No worries at all. No worries at all. So yeah, so I was just saying, I mean, based on what you said in the beginning of this interview, you guys were 30 that came on board from Nigeria at the time. And again, let's even assume a couple of them had to go back home for right or wrong reasons. Ogunwanmo or the Sheriff Ogundu, meaning 20 children cannot play together as friends or play together literally for 20 years. Do you still kind of keep in touch with at least 20 out of those 30 people that you guys came together in 2005?
You would be surprised, and I like how you I like your questions because everything is like just really jiving. I'll tell you this, Debo. One of the most important thing, I'll say it again. One of the most important thing for me in Canada, the friends that I made. Even some of them are even closer to me more than my family.
Interesting. Yeah, that happens in life. Yeah, sure, why not?
Because I would say this again, I am really, really grateful for the type of friends that I have.
That's interesting.
Really, really good friends. And I would say it any day, anytime I would say in front of them, my friends really helped me in terms of they shaped me into who I am today. I
Okay.
have really good friends, amazing friends.
Great.
I guess to go back to your question, all those guys that we came, most of them, we still keep in touch.
Wow, that's
Yes,
impressive. That's
yes.
impressive. That's impressive.
Summers, I actually just did a road trip with my family. I went to go see some of them because most of them still live in Alberta. Most of
Okay.
them still live. I was the only one
Yeah,
that
that's
left
move.
after 2.5 years because I was looking for a cheap university, you know. I didn't come from a rich family, you
Yeah,
know.
I
I
get it.
was looking for a cheap university, University of Winnipeg, University of Manitoba. Back then, they were really, really cheap. With
Of
like
course.
$5,000, you could finish a school, school, whatever. Yeah, back
Interesting.
then.
And
So good stuff.
$5,000 back then wasn't even what
Back then.
$5,000 is right now in Naira.
There
Even
you go. There you
I
go.
understand
So
you.
I came very, I think out of like, I don't know, like 25 or 30 of us. I was the only one that left Alberta and I came to
Interesting.
Manitoba here.
Okay.
And you know, I came here for school was cheap, you know, it was affordable. Manitoba is affordable, right? As we all know. So I came in. But all those guys there, Sammy, Idris, Benny, like all my friends, they're still there. And I still go out there almost every summer.
That's
Like
interesting.
go visit them, I keep in touch with them. They come summers too. Most of us, we're all married now. We got kids and all that, right? They
Course, of
do
course.
road trip here. They come here too. So all those guys, I keep in touch with.
Yeah, great.
Those are my, those are my,
Those
like
are
I
the
said,
real goons. The real goons.
those are my day one, man. Those are my day ones.
Interesting. Of
And you will
course.
still be surprised. Some of the guys that I went to school with in high school that you and I went to, I still keep in touch with them.
That's
Like
interesting.
your laugh, but down, see,
Of course.
very, very tight.
Of
And
course.
yeah, me, I did come be you,
Oh,
I
wow.
still know you. Quite a
Interesting.
bit of guys in a cool tone, all those guys, I still keep in touch with.
Yeah,
So
that's impressive.
I don't take I don't take friendship.
Relationships and friendships
Yes,
for
I
granted.
relationships are very, 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 very important to me. And like, you know,
100%.
for example, you two now, you being able to call me up to those are the kind of relationships that
Yeah,
I've built with you and say, hey,
of course.
Austin, let's chat.
Let's do
I
this.
know
And then
you are like
was one phone call away. I mean, you were pretty
you
much one phone call away. No, no sweats.
know,
100%.
I'm grateful for all of you guys for being there, being supportive from high school, university till now. So I give thanks to all you guys.
Great, great stuff, Tosin. Great stuff. So we just speed it up a little bit. So I want to say, looking back, what do you think was the hardest part for to immigrate to Canada? What was the most difficult part if you're going to look back to 19 years ago?
I would say this, Debo, it's being away from your family. Being away from your family. And for anybody who listens to this, you know, I think, you know, it should give us an opportunity to reflect on the sacrifices that people made for us in any position that we're in right now. We should be grateful and say thank you and continue to be grateful for the sacrifices. I'll give you a quick story about my home. When I came here, like I said, I was 17, right? I missed everybody. My mom, for the first 3 weeks, Debo, for the first 3 weeks that I was in Canada, my mom was bawling her eyes out every night, crying.
Interesting. Mother,
Crying,
motherly care.
mother, right? Crying. Even my dad couldn't take it. My dad had to go talk to our neighbor and say, please, eba mi beyayi. And I'll give you a little bit of whatever. I even made it a little bit worse. I think a couple of weeks when I left, my mom now went to the bank. She was going to send me some money. I didn't know if it was her school fees or whatever. She was going to send me money. And you know, people, some people just talk, just run their mouth anyhow.
Of course.
This woman at the bank met my mom. And I think the money she wanted to send was a significant amount of money right at that time. And the lady asked, Joe, tell her first send away you see you. Oh, mommy, who want Canada and first send this? You know the woman said?
No, no idea. But something
Ikani.
ridiculous, something sarcastic, I can imagine.
The woman said, Ikani, Omoi, Aaron Lossi, Canada at age 17. kosi baba kosi iya kosi anybody pẹlu e ninu otutu se mo bi country yen se bo se tutu to e wa ran mo yin lo si my mom even couldn't finish the transaction at the bank.
Oh
She
my God.
came home again and
That
it was
must
just
have been very devastating for your mom. Like,
very,
it
you
must have
know,
been very
she's
devastating.
still trying to recover from all that, whatever. But you know, I sent this boy, you know, she was crying almost every night. My mom didn't tell me that until 10 years after when she came to visit
Oh
me.
my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
She didn't tell
But
me that.
I'm glad that you turned out well. You know, what happened there was just emotional intelligence. So that's one thing that I've slowly began to understand a lot more as I have even my you know I'm starting to integrate myself into the system. There's a lot more about how people communicate in this part of the world that seem a little bit different, you know. So back home, people are just brash, say it how it is, and don't use diplomacy, no tact,
No tag. Yeah.
just
Just
talk, you know. You have to be, you know, have to you have to be conscious of how the next person feels, because
There
a
you
lot of people
go.
actually go through a lot of stuff. A lot of people are saying what they go through. So people need to be kind, people need to be able to show
Sensitive.
empathy,
Yeah.
people need to be sensitive, because you don't really know how what that person is going through.
Going
So
through,
but I'm
yeah.
glad that you know you turned out well, because obviously that kind of person would have been easy to make you like a laughing stock if things turned out opposite for you, right? But good, you
Right.
turned out well, and
Yeah.
I'm glad mom is around now. She's having fun, you know. She comes
Oh,
in,
she's having fun, yeah.
so that's impressive, and that's great. So I think we're about to wrap up. I only have a few more questions for you specifically, and then I'll just ask you more random questions, and then we're good to go.
Okay.
What advice would you give to new immigrants, especially someone that would, you know, potentially be in the position you were 19 years
Sorry,
ago?
Debo, you're cutting off there. I couldn't hear
Oh,
you very well.
can you hear me now?
Okay, it's better now, yeah?
All right, so my question was, what advice would you give to a teenager, a 17-year-old who's looking forward to making this kind of trip that you made 19 years ago? What kind of advice would you give to them if they are, you know, relocating to a new country?
To a new country. I would say, have a plan. Don't just, leave wherever you're coming from. Have a plan from where you're coming from and try to stick with that plan. Because I think that's like really, really important. I've seen a lot of kids here, like I said, been here for a few years, and so I've seen a lot of kids just come here. They don't have a plan. It's just, oh, I'm here as an international student. Have a plan. Like when you come into Canada, what do you want? A
What's
lot of the
bringing you
some of
in?
them, yeah, some came from like a very rich family or whatever, and just lost, like, oh, my parents can do this for me and that. Like, well, you kind of want your own stuff yourself. You can't rely on your parents' stuff forever.
100%. No, you cannot. You
You know what
shouldn't.
I mean, right? So have a plan, number one. Number two, stick to that plan. Try your possible best. I'm not trying to say don't restrict your diet or whatever, but have that plan, stick to that plan, and listen to the smart people that have been here for years. Because I see a lot of that too. See them youngins, they're coming in. Oh, they want to buy a new flashy car. They want to quick, buy this and buy that. Listen to the people who've been here for a little bit. They know how the system
They
works.
know how the system works, for
Try to
sure.
talk to some of the elderly folks here. I would say, well, a family really helped me till now. I call them like my Canadian parents. They're Mr. and Mrs. Ogunbeme. I'm always grateful to them. They're like my parents here. They kind of like I said, they were just like my parents, Any type of question that I had for them. Fortunately for me, the man was a RCMP officer, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, and I
Oh,
wanted to become a police as well. So he put me through
interesting.
all the justice. Yes, he put me through all the justice. His family, a lot of them, I kind of like in the justice.
Just the okay, like a career path within the justice system.
Yes, justice
Interesting.
in their family. They have, police officers, correction officers, sheriff's officers, and stuff like that. So lots of them, they know how the system works, the military. So this man and his wife, they took me like their own kid. Like I could go there, they would cook for me. I could stay there overnight. they mentored me, you know, and I will be always grateful. I'll be always grateful to them. It was not just me, even my friends that I brought to them and say, hey, we're all international students. We came together. They're like our parents. Oh, you need an advice. Oh, okay, do this, do this. Okay, maybe not do this. Let's kind of like think about it. So they really helped me. So going back to it again, have a plan, stick to your plan, listen to the people who have been here for, yeah, for a couple of years.
Couple of years.
They've seen it all. They've done it all. So those are the people you kind of want to get information from, not people who are like new into the country. We don't really know a lot. So yeah, and be open-minded.
Be
Be
open-minded as
open-minded
well.
because yeah, you got to be open-minded because you're gonna get lots of information from like different places. So being able to kind of like, you know, put all that together, I think that's a secret there.
Interesting. Thank you again, Tosin, for your very wrapped questions. I mean, sorry, answers to my questions. And before I ask you one of the very questions I'm itching to ask you, just very briefly, maybe in 60 seconds, I just wanted to ask you whether resources or organizations in Canada that kind of, you know, helped you to settle in easily, just in 60 seconds.
Nah, there wasn't for me. I didn't look for any organization. It was just the people, relationships, like my friends and second family. This family that I told you, Mr. and Mrs. Ogunbeni, they really helped me. People in the Nigerian community too, you know, as a Muslim too. Like I reached out to the Nigerian Muslim Association too, got information from them, and I stick together. And these people I still keep in touch with, like almost
Hopefully.
on a daily basis.
That's
So yeah.
interesting. That's interesting. I mean, so well, you've said it all. So people want to have a plan. It's very important to have a plan. Coming in as a teenager, you want to also kind of have like mentorship, you know, like touch base with people who have been around for a very long time or have been around
There
for
you go.
a longer period of time so they can show you
Well,
how the system works. And of course, it's important to unlearn.
there
Because,
you go.
you know, to your point, you've got a culture shock, someone invited you to the bar. And then you were supposed to make payments, and then it turned out to be, oh, yeah, split the bill. And you're like, dude, that's not how we do where we're from. We have to unlearn that, right? We have to unlearn the fact that when you're going out and you're being invited, then you there's potentially you might be paying, you know, your portion of the bill,
Your
which is
portion of the data.
another culture shock for me is tipping. So when you go out, the waiter typically expects in North
Expect.
America that you tip them even as
Right.
much as 20% of the entire bill.
At the
That
end of time,
like,
yes.
dude, you're even conditioning me to tip you. How much do I have to tip you? Is it
There's some restaurants now, automatically the tip is already included in your bill.
included in the
You
bill?
want it, you don't want it, you don't even get a
You
say.
don't
It's
get a
automatically.
say. Some other restaurants are more like mild. They kind of say, okay, maybe you don't want to do the tip, or you want to, that you can put in certain amount that you want and stuff like that. This whole cultural shock stuff, it's something that we can talk about extensively in another episode. But you know, for today, I want to say a big thank you for making our time for this. But before I wrap up, you have been a fitness chunk. Like, you're typically someone who's consistently working out, someone who's consistently making out time for exercises. You're always running, you're always doing marathons, you're always doing loads and loads of stuff. What drives you? What motivates you to do that? When I see your fitness summary and you put it up online, I'm like, dude, like, how does this guy do it? How do you do it? Stop
Well, I read that. It's
saying.
nothing. It's like it's I'm not a fitness expert or whatever. I didn't go to school to learn anything. It's just for me, I came to the conclusion a couple of years, you know, maybe 10, 12 years ago that, you know, I need to take care of my mental health. You know, one of the things that I learned so quickly is self-care. You know, nobody's gonna do anything for you. Nobody's gonna do anything for you. If you want
100%.
something,
You
you
have to
have
get
to
it by
go
yourself.
out there, go get it. It's like, you know, it's like really pretty much anything, you know, you want to support yourself financially, you go out there, go get your job, whatever. For me, it's a way for me to de-stress. It's self-care. It's like, what do I do to take care of my mental health? And that's it. You know, I go for runs, I go to the gym, lift weight, whatever. I can be in the gym for like 2 hours. I'm not gonna feel bored. Sometimes I don't even want to leave. It's like a safe place for me. And I look at it, I usually go to I've been so lucky. Most of the places that I've worked, My lunch break is usually 12 to 1. So that 12 to 1, in all the places that I've worked, even as a government worker right now, I go to the gym. From that 12 to
Interesting.
1, I go to the gym,
You
do a
don't
workout.
eat? It's supposed to be lunch. Don't you eat?
I know. I actually, when I come back from lunch, when I come back from
From the gym,
from the
from the
gym,
time in the gym.
yes, I actually feel more refreshed. I can actually do more at work because I'm just filled with endorphins and everything, and I'm just
Yeah.
my brains are just firing. Let's do it.
Stress
Let's do it.
level of cortisol is reduced, and you have more, I think, dopamine and stuff like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, that's what I do. Self-care. Go for
That's
runs. Go to gym. Lift weight and stuff like that. So it's helped me, and I continue to do
interesting. And
it.
how long have you been working out? Because I think I realized recently, true to your world, that working out directly relates to how your stress levels can actually reduce. So the more you work, the more your body moves, the more the stress level reduces in your body. So how long have you been working out? Just in about 30 seconds.
Oh, I'll tell you more than 10 years for sure, because I've completed more than 10 half marathons. I did my first full marathon last year. So yeah, definitely more than 10 years, and
More than
just
10
being
years.
consistent. My
And
lunch
you've been
break to a conf
consistent. So you typically work out every day.
I try to go every day, my lunch break from 12 to 1. So I just Monday to Friday, I don't work out on the weekends. But if
No.
I don't, if work is like so busy or so, I try to catch up on the weekend.
Oh,
So
wow.
exactly like when I'm once I'm done talking to you right now, I'm going for a run. I didn't do anything yesterday, so I'm gonna
So
go
you
go for.
had to eat the tracks and then
I
just move
gotta
on the
gotta gotta.
road just
It's
for a bit.
beautiful out there. It's 26 degrees
It's
out there,
26,
so
it's warm, it's bright out there today
I'm
until fall comes knocking. So of course.
Right, there you go. There you
Of
go. There
course,
you
of
go.
course, of course.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tosin, for sharing the stage with me at the Debotaro Talk Show. It's been awesome. I hope this video would kind of get people to understand the challenges of a new immigrants in the Western world and what some of the things that people can do just to take precaution and just kind of learn from people that have been around before them. Thank you. Any last parting words for
No, nothing really. I just want to thank you for, I've never had this opportunity for somebody to give me the opportunity to kind of like, being interviewed about myself. So I really want to thank you for that. And
The least I can
yeah,
do. I'm
thank you
learning
so
as well.
much.
I'm learning the ropes. You are like maybe the fifth person that I'm doing this with.
Okay,
Yeah, I just
okay.
started this last Friday, so I want to do 10, and then I'm gonna start releasing shorts,
Okay.
clips of different ones, and then just try to see how I can just get people to.
No, you're doing pretty good. You're doing pretty good. Last night, myself and my wife were watching some of your whatever that you uploaded
Okay.
on YouTube
Yeah,
and
I
stuff.
put in
And
just
yeah,
a
we
few.
like it. Very
Oh,
good
sure.
content. So
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you so
doing
much.
it. Keep doing
Thank
it.
you. Thank you so much. And that's a wrap. That's a wrap for
Okay.
today. Thank you again,
Okay.
my brother, for sharing the seat with me at the Debotaro Talk Show. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, my man. And
Thank
my
you so
regards
much.
to everyone at home.
Okay, I will. I will. Thank you so much.
Yes, bro. Okay.
Okay.